If Mom were alive, you wouldn't dare enlist.
True, Grandpa admitted. But she isn't.
Dad left the room, and Grandpa went back to packing his bag. He tried zipping it up, but his hands were trembling, and the bag fell off the bed, photos of Grandma Miriam scattering across the floor. I helped him put everything back into the bag, only to see him empty it out onto the bed again a moment later. He wouldn't stop saying something was missing. He didn't know what. 2. Alman1964@gmail.com, July 16th, 2009, 4 hours, 45 minutes, 2 seconds. Subject: Hi, Yuli. How are you? Get back to me when you read this. Best, Alma Rosenblum, Emissary for the Jewish Agency for Israel in New Delhi. 3. The following day, on the way to the reception and sorting base, Grandpa and I listened to Kol Yisrael. The broadcaster was interviewing some guy who had hiked the Israel National Trail with nothing but 100 shekels in his pocket and 2 pairs of socks.
I should add that to my list, Grandpa said and cleared his throat. You know what I regret not having done? He said when he realized I wasn't going to ask.
What?
I asked reluctantly, and he started listing items slowly in a monotonous voice.
Hiking the Israel National Trail, eating Mom's gefilte fish again, visiting the Arad Visitor Center, finding the old grocery store sign, maybe in the Jaffa Flea Market, tracking down Tamar Weitzman, my first high school girlfriend who went to America and disappeared, smoking a Cuban cigar, telling Golda that on second thought, she wasn't to blame for the war.
He fell silent, waiting for my reaction, but I continued to look out at the road quietly. I wasn't in the mood to talk about the list again, which I already knew by heart, the list of all the things he never did and now never would do. Because my grandpa, ever since I could remember him, never stopped talking about the day he'd die. He let everyone know he'd be out of here in no time, and he also liked telling people exactly when and how it would happen, including a detailed arrangement of the eulogizers at his funeral. Grandma Miriam refused to listen. She always said that if he dared bring his death into their home, she'd kill him herself, either with a frying pan or a rolling pin, whichever was closer. So he kept quiet in her presence. But when I was a kid, whenever Grandpa took me to the movies on a Saturday morning, he would start up again. He said I was the only one he could trust. And I listened silently, letting him go on and on, until I could recite by heart his last day on earth like I could the whole team of Hapoel Kfar Saba FC, or entire dialogues from my favorite movie, Givat Halfon, carrying the burden, keeping my grandpa alive. 4. A corporal with round-rimmed glasses stood at the entrance of the reception base.
You've got your call-up papers? He asked me,
with a trembling hand, barely able to see a thing with his bucket hat covering half his face. Grandpa handed him his draft notice before I could get a word out. The soldier considered the draft slip and turned his gaze back to Grandpa.
No shit. You the man.
He slapped Grandpa's shoulder.
It's thanks to dudes like you that the people of Israel are still kicking ass. Yochai? Come see this, he yelled to a soldier next to him. Another one joining the oldies. I'm telling you, these men are the real motherfuckers.
Everyone around us started looking at Grandpa, who was awkwardly shrinking into himself. Then came a round of applause. I pulled him into the square inside the base, and we sat down on a bench, waiting for his name to be called. I bought him a Diet Coke, but he didn't want to drink. He looked a little lost, as if in some state of pre-trauma. An elderly man who had arrived with what seemed like his entire extended family stood beside us. Grandpa looked at the man's children.